Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking about a Packers victory, 44-31 over the Minnesota Vikings last evening, Sunday evening. The last time ever the Green Bay Packers will play in the Metrodome, closing it out with the victory. Packers looking good last night, there's no doubting about it, getting a division in the NFC North, going to 5-2 on the season now, and it was so important to keep pace in the NFC North yesterday, right before the Packers game. The Detroit Lions have a nice comeback victory over the Dallas Cowboys, setting up for perhaps a showing during Thanksgiving, maybe the Packers' next biggest game on their schedule against the Detroit Lions. But to get a division win last night, following it up with a division game this week, this upcoming week, next Monday night against the Chicago Bears. No reason the Packers shouldn't win that one, right? We'll talk about that game later in the week. Let's take a look back at this week's game. What the Packers did was offensive mastery, basically, was the key to the victory on Sunday evening. I think what you have here, and the key stat to me, was the time of possession on Sunday night. The Packers more than doubled the time of possession. Okay, here's the stats. Now just take a listen to these. The Packers held the football for 40 minutes and 54 seconds, while the Vikings had the football just for 19 minutes and 6 seconds. More than doubled. And it kind of almost seems like it gets skewed early in the game where the Vikings have the kickoff return to open the game. And how bad did that look, right? Your heart as a Packer fan, your heart just probably sank on that opening kickoff and be like, oh my goodness, this is how we're going to open the game. But, it's kind of understandable the Packers have, winning the time of possession when they're getting fast scores like that. But then everything equaled out with the Packers' own special teams touchdown, a 93-yard punt return touchdown from Micah Hyde. Well, that cancels everything out. To each have a long touchdown on a return, and for the Packers still to dominate time of possession, really, really was remarkable. And it was because of long, sustained drives. And I think each half they opened up with a very nice long sustained drive. Not to say those were the only ones of the evening, but those especially I think demoralized the Vikings and especially their defense. When the Packers they respond to that opening kick of that opening kickoff of the game, the Cordarrelle Patterson 109-yard touchdown, NFL record. Vikings had momentum, right? Well, the Packers got right back into it. They took the momentum away with a 90-yard drive. Yeah, so Jonathan Franklin looks pretty poor by comparison, getting the ensuing kickoff only out to the 10-yard line. But the Packers just drive down the field, just march down the field on their way to a Jordy Nelson 11-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, and to fit it in that tight window was simply remarkable. A great catch, better pass from Aaron Rodgers to put it right by the ear hole of the Vikings defender there. I think Josh Robinson was guarding Jordy Nelson on that play, the first touchdown drive of the game. You know, it took like, you know, what, 7-8 minutes off the scoreboard. You know, and that's the way the Packers operated the whole evening. Didn't even punt. That just goes to show how well the Packers did. It was going well in the running game. It was going well in the passing game. You name it, it was going well. And now I do think Aaron Rodgers was the difference in this game, especially when you compare him to Christian Ponder and what the Vikings have at quarterback. You know, the superior quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers fitting those touchdown passes in tight windows to Jordy Nelson. But it isn't just the passes to Jordy Nelson. It was working with a makeshift staff and getting first downs. Packers have 26 first downs on the evening and convert third downs at a 13 of 18 clip. You know, that was the reason they dominated time of possession too. Just one of many reasons they dominated time of possession. Getting those third down conversions, not just third down too, two fourth down conversions. Just refusing to punt twice during the night. Tim Mastay didn't even punt last night. rather amazing. So Aaron Rodgers, working with the makeshift staff, throwing first down passes to Miles White, to Jarrett Boykin, to John Kuhn, to Andrew Corliss, to be hitting these guys without Randall Cobb, without James Jones, without JerMichael Finley. Fantastic, fantastic job by Aaron Rodgers. This is why he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. This is why. I mean, who else does that with a cast of interns, basically, is what they are. I mean, these guys, you know, might be, some of them, cut at some point if the Packers have to make room. You know, eventually you think Derek Sherrod here is going to come off the PUP list. Eventually you think perhaps maybe Randall Cobb's coming back off injured reserve. If these guys do, you know, some of the interns might be cut loose. I don't know. We'll see how things play out. That's in the future. But Aaron Rodgers being the difference in this game, absolutely fantastic, and getting a great, you know, performance from Jordy Nelson stepping up in the absence of all these other targets gone. Three of the top four pass catchers for the Packers not suiting up on Sunday night. But Jordy Nelson steps up, Aaron Rodgers steps up, finds Nelson, finds the rest of these guys to keep the chains moving. That was the single most, you know, best performance last night turned in from Aaron Rodgers. And hey, what one understated thing about Aaron Rodgers too, his running. His running yards are a little bit down from previous years. You can see age is starting to creep into Aaron Rodgers a little bit. He's not quite as mobile as he used to be. Not that he's over yet. He's not a statue back there. He had 6 carries on the night for 31 yards. I think 2 of those included kneel downs, so you shouldn't even include those. 4 carries basically for 31 yards, and 3 of them going for first downs. Just Aaron Rodgers showing awareness to move around in the pocket. Very apropos, Bob McGinn's Sunday column at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about such a thing, moving around in the pocket, the good things that happen when things break down and Aaron Rodgers is on the move, and that was the case last night. Aaron Rodgers getting 3 running first downs. 3 running first downs. So it's very good job there. And how about the guy that Aaron Rodgers was criticized by?
Vikings wide receiver Greg Jennings.
You know, he received a lot of attention on national television last night for comments he made throughout the offseason. We've talked about him many times here on the show, on Railbird Central, about what Greg Jennings said about Aaron Rodgers. You know, not calling him by his name, saying he was brainwashed in Green Bay, saying that the organization is cookie cutter, criticizing the leadership of Aaron Rodgers. And so, of course, Greg Jennings, he has the nationally televised interview before the game where he's got to answer these questions. And then to be held to one catch for 9 yards last night, the Packers just shut Greg Jennings down. And so what happens after the game? Greg Jennings and eventually Aaron Rodgers, as the cameras are waiting for it and everybody's waiting for it post game, what is Greg Jennings going to do? He does go to Aaron Rodgers and you can see him talking into his ear. You can't hear what they're saying. Aaron Rodgers is asked about what he says in his post-game interview and says he's going to keep it private between him and Greg Jennings and pretty much taking the high road, as he should. But what was really, really interesting is the reports from the reporters at the game on site in Minnesota saying Greg Jennings had left the locker room before the media arrived. Greg Jennings didn't even talk to the media last night. Very classy, Greg. Very classy. You know, that I don't know why you do something like that, because the bad publicity you get from not talking to the media is worse than actually talking to the media, if you ask me. You know, what do you get out of that? You talk to the media and you eat your humble pie. You do. I think people respect that if you eat your humble pie, right? I mean, you just say, yeah, the Vikings got the better of us, or the Packers got the better of us last night. I didn't play very well. People respect that when you say things like that in the face of adversity after a loss. But Greg Jennings just refuses to say anything at all. And now this image that he's a jerk is just perpetuated. You know, the Vikings still have to come to Green Bay later this season. The fans aren't, you know, going to let this go. He's going to hear about it in Green Bay. He's going to be booed. Maybe things will quiet down after that game, as long as Greg Jennings keeps his mouth shut. But he's going to hear about it once more. When they come to Green Bay, Greg Jennings is going to be booed all over again. And he was booed last night. I mean, you could hear the Packers fans on TV. I mean, there was, you know, plenty of them there. Obviously, with the Vikings having a subpar season, Packers fans are going to travel in droves, especially to a game close to the state of Wisconsin. They were out there in force, and you could hear them booing Greg Jennings even at a Vikings home game. It's only going to be louder when they come to Lambeau Field. But yeah, so getting back here to this offensive performance that I think was, you know, certainly more notable than the Packers' defensive performance last night, although we'll get to that too. Again, many reasons the Packers, you know, dominated the time of possession. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. We talked about how they did on converting third and fourth downs. But the Packers running game, once again, just as it has all season long, looking fantastic. And the stats don't look great for Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy finishes the game with an average per carry of 3.2 yards. Now, nothing special, right? But what Eddie Lacy was able to do was he touched the ball over 30 times in the game. He carries the ball 29 times for 99 yards. He catches the ball 4 times for, 18 yards. So he touches the ball 33 times total last night. And that is what is remarkable from Eddie Lacy. Really stepping up to be the workhorse back, really helping the Packers grind out the tough yards and winning that time of possession, keeping the chains moving,
putting them in favorable down and distance situations when he's gaining 5 yards or so on first down, and many times he's gaining more than that. It just makes it so easy on the Packers offense to then convert first downs, whether it's on second down, third down, even fourth down. When it's, you know, second and four, third and three, fourth and one, those are, you know, makes it so much easier to convert those when you're not third and 10, fourth and 10. You know, that's what Eddie Lacy does. And carrying the rock 33 times, touching the ball in total last night and taking a pounding. He's the Energizer Bunny. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Or is that Timex? I don't even know my advertising slogans very well. Anyway, so Eddie Lacy, for a rookie, getting the job done, touching the ball over 33 times. That was, you know, that was what was impressive. Not the 3.2 average yards per carry. It was touching the ball 33 times and taking a beating and keeping the clock running. And James Starks complimented him nicely. James Starks only touched the ball 7 times. Now, he had the impressive yards per carry. Here's James Starks' line. 7 carries, 57 yards. His average per carry of 8.1 yards. Of course, his highlight of the night was the touchdown, the 25-yard touchdown run. He just went right up the middle, practically untouched. Shows a burst of speed. And this is a guy who's coming off missing 4 games. So he's, you know, the Packers starting to get a little bit healthier here. They got a little boost from James Starks last night, you know, taking pressure off Eddie Lacy. It'd be nice if they even took it off him a little bit more, giving James Starks a few more carries so Eddie Lacy isn't taking quite a pounding. You know, I cringed late in the game on the Packers, you know, last drive of the game when Eddie Lacy was still in there. I'm like, hasn't he taken beating enough? You know, but they wanted, of course, they wanted to ease James Starks back from injury. They didn't want to overwork him. They didn't want to expose him to injury. You know, perhaps you could say Jonathan Franklin, he's kind of, you know, not making much of his opportunities. Jonathan Franklin had the one really nice game where he had 100 yards, but he's just blowing so many opportunities this year. Kind of disappointing a little bit. I mean, he's young, he's a rookie, we give him a chance, but, you know, yesterday, Jonathan Franklin not doing good on kickoff returns, shows to be indecisive on a kickoff return, eventually replaced by Micah Hyde in the second half. We'll get to Micah Hyde in a second, and, you know, that's Jonathan Franklin taken out on special teams, not even getting an opportunity on offense. I don't think he played a single snap on offense. You know, you wish he could get a few here and there, take a little pressure off the other guys, you know, get used to taking advantage of Jonathan Franklin's, you know, ability to play in space, maybe grab some screen passes at least. But, you know, he has 2 fumbles this year, not looking good on returns. Disappointing. It definitely is. But, yeah, so the guys replaced by in returns in the second half, Micah Hyde, I mean... how terrific is that? The 93-yard punt return for a touchdown. I thought I saw this come across my Twitter feed. Surprised me a little bit. The 93-yard punt return was only the 4th longest punt return in Packers history. There's been 3 longer than 93 yards. Surprised me a little bit. That's a long punt return if you ask me, but hey, I mean, whatever. Great regardless. And, you know, for a rookie, this is great. I mean, Micah Hyde, for a rookie cornerback who's playing occasionally on defense but not playing a ton, that's great that he's just standing out not only on returns but on the coverage units as well, although he did kind of have a missed tackle on that, you know, that opening Cordero Patterson 109-yard touchdown return. Slightly disappointing there, but making up for it, more than making up for it with the punt return touchdown of his own. For all the, you know, injury woes and Randall Cobb, of course, being hurt, and it just gives you peace of mind that, you know, the Packers can put Hyde out there and you don't have to worry about, you know, Randall Cobb going out there getting injured. This is a great role for Micah Hyde. Great place for him to make a contribution to this team. and so far being sure-handed. I mean, that's more than anything. You know, so many times over the years, think back to the Super Bowl season when it's you know, Tremont Williams was back as the punt returner the Super Bowl season. And Tremont Williams, he never really impressed as a punt returner, but at least you could catch the ball and be like, okay, you know, you felt good about that. You want that more than anything. But for Micah Hyde to be sure-handed and provide a little bit of a spark, provide a little bit of a dangerous element, just been terrific. I mean, he showed some burst. Here's a guy who's been criticized about his speed, has the slow 40 time at the NFL Combine, but, you know, regardless, still doing a good job. And, you know, hey, thumbs up to Micah Hyde for nice long touchdown. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of good things here, the offense and Micah Hyde and Eddie Lacy and Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. The Packers defense, you know, looked okay last night. Not to say that they looked bad, because certainly some of the points were, you know, due to special teams, the long touchdown and another, you know, Cordero Patterson ended up having what, another almost 50 yard return that put him, that the Vikings at least in good field position. So Packers special teams a little shaky last night as the coverage units at least. but so the Packers defense, I mean, for, you know, the biggest thing you wanted to take away was Adrian Peterson, right? I mean, he's the best thing the Vikings have going for him. Best running back in the NFL, probably. And he, on the evening, only has 13 carries for 60 yards. And yeah, he got in the end zone once. But the Packers, I think, basically limited the damage by Adrian Peterson. So, I mean, good job there. And it's the same story it's been all year. The bulk of the credit goes to the Packers' defensive front. Again, Ryan Pickett, B.J. Raji, Johnny Jolly, those guys especially, you know, clogging those holes, making, you know, clearing way for A.J. Hawk and Jamari Lattimore once again having a nice game to make plays. Jamari Lattimore just really been stepping up ever since Brad Jones is out. You got to figure Brad Jones will be back this next game, but wow. I mean, there's definitely something to like about Jamari Lattimore there, but the guys up front and being bolstered, but again, you know, C.J. Wilson, Mike Neal, Mike Daniels getting two sacks, not playing a ton on running downs, more asked to rush the passer. But Mike Daniels really providing a nice pass rush, getting two sacks last night. Really, you know, now four sacks on the season from a defensive tackle who's not a three-down player. Remarkable. Rather remarkable. So you know, credit them for stuffing Adrian Peterson, limiting him to 60 total rushing yards, average of 4.6 yards a carry. Basically didn't hurt the Packers, really. Safety Morgan Burnett, I thought, had the worst night of any Packers defender, getting trucked at the goal line twice. I thought the one at the end of the first half was especially costly just because the Vikings only had 4 seconds left on the clock and Morgan Burnett had the chance to stop him short of the goal line. And he got ran over, and Adrian Peterson ends up finding the end zone. Morgan Burnett getting ran over by Toby Gerhart in, you know, the end of the game as well. Little, you know, I guess I'm nitpicking here, but could have seen a better performance there. But, you know, the Packers giving up some yard. They give up 31 points, but, you know, is an okay defensive performance. Of course, I think a lot of people are going to say Packers got conservative at the end of the game, didn't really keep the foot on the gas pedal and kind of played, you know, prevent defense that doesn't prevent anything, as people say. And yeah, I can see it. Tremont Williams, what a snake-bitten guy a little bit. He gets called for a terrible pass interference penalty in the first half. Should not have been called at all. Didn't, you know, coming against, of all people, Greg Jennings, but doesn't impede Greg Jennings at all whatsoever. Just should have been a no call. But Tremont Williams then getting a, you know, it was worthy of a flag in the fourth quarter there when he got called for pass interference again. No, that one was deserved, no doubt about it. So, but how about the Packers, the way they kind of just shuffled things in and out in the secondary last night? Kind of interesting that, you know, Casey Hayward comes back and plays his first game of the year. He's missed the first six games because of a hamstring injury. And it really was a good environment for Casey Hayward to be eased back into the game. You know, first of all, the Packers were going to play a lot of base 3-4 defense. And, you know, Casey Hayward is not going to play in the base defense, at least right now. He's a slot cornerback only. He's only going to play in nickel and dime situations. And so he got a few snaps here and there. But there were times even when there were series, kind of was just a simply a rotational basis by series, it seemed like, where they kind of, you know, didn't let him play. So Tremont Williams was, you know, at times playing the slot, Micah Hyde in there as well with the dime roll, just kind of, you know, shuffling things in and out. And I think it was due to Casey Hayward coming back from injury. You know, and I think Casey Hayward's role will grow over time. You know, Devon House, again, getting some playing time last night on defense, but not a ton. And again, part of it was to keep him fresh on special teams. So they want to keep all these guys fresh. And, you know, they're so deep at cornerback that, you know, that's part of the reason. You saw James Nixon, a healthy scratch last night, the young cornerback, but not really too surprising there. You know, here's a Packers team now moving forward. When you're talking about this injury situation that's only going to get healthier, how about, you know, they got this next game. They got the Monday night game. They get one extra day to get a little bit more healthy. And I think that's important. And you can see now, you're probably this week getting back, you know, this game you got Casey Hayward back. Now next week, you're probably getting back Brad Jones and Nick Perry. It looks like those guys are on the precipice of returning, and they'll be aided by the extra day of recovery. And who knows, maybe even Clay Matthews. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say Clay Matthews is going to play against the Bears. In fact, if I had to guess, I would say he's not going to. But there was kind of that thing where Clay Matthews was going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, I think they said. You know, it was kind of the most likely scenario. So he's now sat out 3 games. This would be the fourth. I do think Clay Matthews will sit, but Brad Jones probably back, Nick Perry probably back next week. You can see the Packers defense just kind of gaining confidence in itself, having a little bit more depth, and they definitely could use Nick Perry. Nate Palmer and Andy Malumba have done well filling in, you know, at that outside linebacker position, kind of, you know, they've filled in admirably. They've tried hard, but they haven't really been able to make an impact. And Mike Neal hasn't made much of an impact the past 2 games playing across from Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer. And I think part of the reason, you know, Mike Neal gets a bad grade is because the teams are starting to take advantage of him, especially in coverage, a little bit. And you know, he's definitely not good in space. He's better stuffing the run. He's better getting after the passer than he is playing in space, especially in coverage. So, it'll be so much better for everybody involved when you know, Nick Perry's back in there, taking pressure off all of them, and then eventually getting Clay Matthews back, you know, in a week or two, maybe. So, that's what you have to look forward to. This team that should be getting healthy, and you know, they're now on a 4-game win streak. The Packers are, and it just figures to keep going, right? I mean, who's gonna pick who's going to pick against the Packers straight up next week at home against the Bears on Monday Night Football? Maybe give the Bears a chance if Jay Cutler's healthy, but he's not going to play. He's injured. I can't see the Packers losing the way they're on a roll right now, the way they're going to be getting healthy, you know, the way Jay Cutler's injured. I just can't see it anything but a win next week. And then you're facing the next games after that are against the Eagles, against the Giants, both teams with losing records. Not that those games will be easy. You play the Eagles, and you got to prepare for that Chip Kelly offense that's going to be really fast, so that's going to be a challenge of its own. And you got the Giants, who, even though they have a losing record, now they've won two in a row and building a little momentum. They could be a little bit scary there, but still, things are setting up nicely here for the Packers to build some momentum and keep winning. So, you know, starting with a win last, not really starting with it, but, you know, continuing the trend last night in a 44-31 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Again, terrific job by the Green Bay Packers. Great game last night. Great way to close out the Metrodome in style, the last time the Packers will ever play there. Vikings slated to play at TCF Bank Stadium for the next 2 years temporarily until they build their new one. But Packers keeping the momentum going, four straight victory, moving to 5-2 on the season now. It feels good to be a Packer fan, right? Right. Anyway, thanks for joining us here on a Monday morning, folks. Railbird Central airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us Wednesday. We'll be joined by Pro Football Focus's Nathan Yonke, as he does every Wednesday, our weekly guest, to join us. So we're looking forward to that. But hey, we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for all your news needs. I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.